WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begay on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in the extremely bright and sunny, beautiful Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. If you would like to listen to us live on any one of your listening devices, you can go to 1510wwbc.com, hit that listen live button, and you'll be able to hear us right away. Or you can use our archive option, which is just go to the date, or you can go to cedamediainc.com. We also post everything on our Facebook pages.
That's
as well,
right.
Which is Sita Media, and of course, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and Sita Begay. So good luck. You find it everywhere.
Yes. And as usual, our studio the studio feels very warm today, very inviting. I feel like we're going to have a really great conversation. We have Ellen Little on the mic, as usual, my co-host and my right hand for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We have Ali Tambor, our resident guest, who is now a regular with us every Monday.
Oh, boy.
And our second segment will be with Claire Ellis. She's representing right now the Zonta Club of Melbourne. Danny's running on board. But for our listeners who are tuning in, what a wonderful day that God created today for us. It's just, driving up here was just beautiful. And
you must be saying that like extra because they're expecting snowstorms like everywhere north of North Carolina. So there's a lot of our listeners that are probably going to be listening going, oh, great, rub it in, Sita.
Yeah, but you know what? They woke up today.
They did, absolutely. They might have to shovel snow.
The most important
up.
Thing is you're still breathing, right? So, we sit here on Mondays, and we it's like a second nature to me now. I probably could do shows now without even researching them because we've spoken to so many people. We've spoken with politicians and financial literacy folks and people who want to advise others to get into college and trade and women's rights,
people
the
that
environment.
Want to start a business, authors.
Business, authors, lots of authors, and of course, our nonprofits and places like Zonta International, human trafficking, whatever. We chat with people. But I just feel like God has given us a voice. And we're using our voice in a very responsible manner. And today's no different. This is like our living room. We just talk about kitchen table topics. And we actually have a show before the show sometimes.
That's right. That's right. So, but, you know, the last few shows, too, have been very inspiring and messages of hope and messages of people changing their lives and doing things not just for themselves but for other people in their communities. So it's been the last, and I've been editing all the shows, so since probably December, that the influx of people that have really wanted to do the right thing, not just for themselves, like I said, but do things right for their communities and stepping out and really trying to, like Dalai Lama, right? Be the change you want to see in the world.
Right.
Really trying to be that change and live
well,
in a good
Well, you know, we always
legacy.
Say that our show is fun and it's interesting and it's very educational and we give out very valuable information, and today's no different, right? We've got a good person that I met on social media. Of course, social media could be good, right? And it could be bad. Mr. Daryl and Henderson. And he's joining us this morning on his work truck in Tampa. He's calling in to talk about his recovery from being addicted to alcohol. And, you know, we all talk about what happened to our world during COVID-19, but he's got a very good spin on this and what has happened. So we're going to say hello to Mr. Daryl Henderson, and he'll chat with us a little bit about his journey. So good afternoon, Mr. Henderson, and welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I read your bio, and I was like, wow, this guy, you've been there and back. You've been a place and back, and you're standing and you're breathing, and you're able to be an advocate for people now who are addicted to alcohol or drugs or whatever they're addicted to. So you tell us a little bit about yourself and growing up in Brooklyn, New York, and moving down to Florida.
Yes, well, thank you for having me again. Yeah, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I went to college in Massachusetts. It was there when I started drinking, you know, and like most college kids, partying and, you know, not going to class and all that stuff. So I ended up not graduating, and then about a year later, I joined the Navy. And I served in the U.S. Navy for about 10 years. And I enjoyed my service. I was honorably discharged. I had a great time. But all throughout those years, you know, there's a line in a song that says, no matter how fast I run, I can't get away from me. And so one of the things I was taking with me along this journey was booze, was alcohol. And so I get out of the Navy. I end up coming back to New York. I get married for the second time. And I end up moving to Florida in 2006. But again, I'm bringing all this stuff with me. Along the journey, you know, I realized that there was some unresolved trauma in my life. Nothing really major. I wasn't abused or anything. I grew up in a great family, great parents. But there were some things that I had not settled, you know, in my head and in my heart. And that led to sort of self-medicating with alcohol, you know, things that didn't go the way that I had hoped in my life. Instead of really dealing with it, I turned to alcohol.
And you know what you're saying is such a common thing, because so many people do that, because alcohol abuse is the second most common form of substance abuse in the United States after tobacco addiction.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. And because, you know, I wasn't one of these guys. I didn't end up on the street or anything like that. I never lost a job because I was drinking. So that's probably why it took me so many years to realize that I actually had a problem. You know, one of the things that we say in recovery, you know, the first step is always the hardest one. The first step, admitting that you have a problem, admitting that your life is unmanageable, that you have no control, that you cannot say no to this thing, whatever it is, alcohol, heroin, whatever the addiction is, you know, realizing that you cannot say no to this is the first step in resolving the issue and getting help in getting sober.
Well, the first thing is understanding that it's causing harm to you and those around you. Because a lot of people, they would say, well, I don't have a problem. But I think once you find that if you're missing work, you're being abusive at home, then that becomes an alcohol disorder at that point.
Well, sure. And you know, it doesn't even have to be that extreme sometimes. You know, there are folks who, you know, no one would suspect that they have a problem with alcohol. But, you know, the hardest part, at least for me, was looking in the mirror finally and saying, you know, I need help with this. I need to deal with this.
It takes a lot of strength to do that.
Functioning alcoholics in the world.
Oh, yeah. Some people can't go by a day without having a couple of drinks every evening, right? But here's the thing. You know, we live in a society where people have emotional disorders, mental disorders, disorders, physical, financial, and then you throw in the mix an addiction to drugs or alcohol. And sometimes I don't feel we have enough treatment centers for those who recognize that they do have an issue and they need help. Did you find that you had a place to go? Were people readily available to assist you with this?
Yes, in fact, the place that I ended up going to get help was the Salvation Army Rehabilitation Center here in St. Petersburg. A six-month program, and it was fantastic. These folks were ready to welcome me in the door and get me started on the road to sobriety. And last Friday, I celebrated 2 years of sobriety.
Congratulations.
Yes, yes, yes. That's awesome. So now you're using your voice to help other people, but you said that you were drinking in college. Was it something that you learned from your parents or from people in your neighborhood or family members? Because oftentimes when people go out to eat or drink or they go to a party, it's expected people might have a glass or two, wine, a beer, whatever. But there are a lot of families that sit down, and I don't want to use the word groom, but it almost sounds like they are when they hand you a beer or they hand you a glass of wine, and you're young and impressionable, and that seems to be like a behavior that people want you to accept as the norm. Did you find that was going on in your life?
Well, actually, no. I mean, my parents were good, God-fearing Christian folks, and there was no alcohol in my house. My parents didn't smoke. So I actually, it was sort of, you know, when you're 18 years old and you leave your home and you go away to college, it was one of those things that I was never allowed to do. So now that I'm on my own, hey, I'm going to see what this is like.
I bet they were not happy with you at all, because they probably thought
well,
I taught better.
Yeah, I mean, my mother was the first one many, many years ago to tell me, you know, Dad, you got a problem. But, of course, you know, I'm 22 or 23 years old, and you know, I just ignore it. Oh, it's just mom being mom. And so I ignored it for many years. Unfortunately, she was right, and it took many years for me to figure it out and to take steps to get sober. So,
Daryl, I wish you could see how our producer... Danny is shaking his head to everything you're saying there because it's the truth. You know, this is a parent's secret affair that when your kids go off to college that they end up with the wrong crowd.
Yes.
You know, and you could jump in here, Allie.
Yes, absolutely. Influence from your peers. It still exists now, but it does with all of this use Facebook and things like that. But
social
before,
media.
It was just simply... our need to be accepted in the group we're in, and so they all look like they're having fun. I'm just going to go have fun.
Yes. So Daryl, did you when you sought assistance with this for recovery, did you have to take your family members with you as well? Because part of healing is bringing the family members along as well. Or were you there alone, and then you would take the message home?
Well, I was here alone. I've been here in Florida since 2006. I got divorced from my second wife about 6 years ago, and basically I was on my own, and so when I checked into rehab, I was doing it alone. I was doing it by myself. Now, you know, I met guys in rehab who, you know, family members had recommended and brought them in, and they were going down the journey together, which is fantastic. I went down this journey alone, and at the end, you know, when I graduated and when I started regularly attending AA meetings and everything, I brought my family in, because part of the 12-step program is making amends, right? So you go back to the people that you've harmed to try and make it right. And so part of that has been reconnecting with members of my family and making amends that way. And it's been wonderful. It's been great. I was able to reconnect with my daughter, who I had not seen in probably 15 years. And we now have a great relationship. I've met my grandson. And, you know, life is looking very good right now. So,
well, we're proud of you. You are one of those success stories when it comes to recovery. But, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't understand about alcohol is not only can it seriously damage your liver and stomach and heart and brain and nervous system, but it also increases the risk of cancer in the mouth, throat, and all that. So when you were drinking heavily, did you have any health issues that you said, wow, this is really affecting my health and I need to do something about it?
Well, you know what? God be praised, no. That I never really experienced any sort of physical ramifications from drinking. Like I said, it took me many years to realize I had a problem because, you know, I wasn't that guy that had to wake up in the morning with a drink. I never really did that. But I do know people who have had serious health ramifications from years and years of drinking. Fortunately, by the grace of God, that did not happen to me. But one of the things that I will point out, though, is that having an alcohol addiction, being, you know, having a problem controlling your drinking, not only affects you, it can affect you physically, but it damages your relationships, and sometimes beyond repair. You know, there are people that I would like to make amends to, but I will never have the opportunity to, because either they have completely moved on from me, a couple of them have actually passed away. And so that becomes, you know, those kind of things, if those become things that you have to live with in recovery, is relationships that have been damaged beyond repair, or having to go to a cemetery to make amends to someone who has passed on. So there are other very serious ramifications other than physical.
That's where you start getting into that radical acceptance, you know, where you're, from your recovery standpoint, you need to keep recovering, and then those people that don't want to recover with you, that's that radical acceptance that you have to realize that, you know, you really have to focus on yourself. And kudos to you for all of that you've gone through. What are some of the things that you would tell somebody if you know, we have a listening audience of quite a few thousand people all over the world. What would you say to people that maybe were struggling, or, you know, same thing like you? You weren't losing things. You weren't losing a house. You weren't losing a job. You were showing up on time. You were doing all your right things, but you knew you still had a trouble.
Well, I'll tell you the first thing my sponsor told me, because when I was in rehab, right? It's a homeless shelter, right? Mm-hmm. But here I am thinking I'm having problems with step one, which is admitting I got a problem. And so my sponsor looked at me and he goes, okay, I need you to write down the good things that alcohol has done for you, and then write down the bad things.
Uh-huh.
You know, a good list, yeah, and a bad list, and see what it looks like. And it took me about 10 minutes to write this list and realize, oh my God, the stuff on the bad side is just, there's so much of it. And on the good side, you know, the good feeling and everything, and the feeling of confidence, that went away 25 years ago.
Well, my dad was one of the people, the human beings in Trinidad and Tobago, who was able to sober up a lot of people, because he was the Alcoholics Anonymous chairperson for the South part of Trinidad. And boy, mm-hmm, did we have people come into my father's shop whose wives would bring them and say, Mr. Ramlogan, please help me. He's beating me. He's yeah, hurting the children. He's spending his entire paycheck on rum in the rum shops with his friends. We have no food to eat. We have no shoes. We have no clothes. But he has rum, and he's falling down all over the village. And one of the things that I saw as a child was the drinking alcohol actually was like a stress relief for so many of the men in the village. Did you find that drinking alcohol was a bit of a stress relief for you from the world's problems?
Absolutely. One of the reasons why it took me so long to realize I had a problem was because I was using the excuse of, I need to take the edge off after work. You know, I worked in politics for a couple of years, which is unbelievably stressful most days. And, you know, I use the excuse of, well, I just want to have a couple glasses of scotch just to relax, just to calm my nerves a little bit, just to, you know, feel normal again. And before you know it, too much of that, and feeling normal is having the buzz. And then, you know, before you know it, you're losing friends, and, you know, all those bad things start to happen. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, you see it in the commercials every day, right? You know, have a beer after work, and you see all these young, pretty people sitting around the bar with these beers in their hand. And our culture tells us that this is something we naturally do. Alcoholism in this country has skyrocketed.
Yeah, our culture doesn't tell us that alcohol is actually a depressant, and it means it slows down the activity in your brain. But contrary to that, I've seen a lot of people get more alert when they drink alcohol, and they get free, and they dance. And so I really don't know if that one is a scientific finding.
Well, just because it kills your inhibitions doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah. But what is
it? It in fact is a depressant. It is a depressant, but it, like whoever said that is absolutely correct. It reduces your inhibitions. So alcohol, after drinking alcohol, you are more likely to do things that you ordinarily wouldn't do.
That's right. Like we call them tequila muscles.
In the middle of the floor.
Right. I've seen women back home in Trinidad when I would go home for the weddings. I always wondered why the more they drank, the more their clothing would come off. You know, like here goes the sweater, and here goes the socks, and here goes the shoes. And next thing you know, they're on top of a table, and they're dancing. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't ever want to do that. But so I
play. One of the great things about me is that I get to play in a band, and I play 4 and 5 times a week. And out of those 4 and 5 times a week, 3 nights a week at least is in a bar. So I get to experience and see all of those inhibition faults, if you will, of people that want to come up and, you know, let me come play tambourine for your band.
Most people say if you want to drink in moderation, that you could have, you know, one drink a day for women and no more than 2 drinks a day for men. But that's not happening. If you pass by any of the bars in the evenings, it's more than that. So Daryl, how do you help others? Now you're an advocate, and you're going around and you're giving speeches and helping people in your church and where you live. What kind of reception do you get, and how does people contact you if they need some assistance?
Well, I actually go back and forth to the rehab center where I got sober, and it's an all-male center, and I go back and talk to the guys every now and then, and we have a group in our church of guys who are in recovery, and we meet. I have a home group in AA here in St. Pete, and there's a couple of other meetings that I attend. Mostly, I tell folks to go online and look at AA. Just go to AA.com.
The 12-step program.
Google Alcoholics Anonymous, because there are AA meetings everywhere. There are literally meetings in every town and village in the country. And so, yeah, I mean, it would be okay if they wanted to contact me through your radio program, but it would be much easier if they just locally looked up Alcoholics Anonymous. There are meetings everywhere.
Yes.
And all you got to do is show up. I mean, we had a guy show up at our meeting on Saturday, and he was actually drunk. But he came to the meeting because he knew that this is where he needed to be.
Yeah. So. And you know, oftentimes the person who needs help the most is in denial. So how do we get those people to admit that I have a problem and I need to go online and look at AA and the 12-step program?
Well, I would say they should do exactly what my sponsor told me to do. First of all, the very first thing you have to do is be willing to look in the mirror and be 100% honest with yourself. Part of the problem with people in addiction is we are some of the best actors around. We're able to convince ourselves that that everything is okay. And yet, you know, everyone who's in addiction knows. They've been told by somebody. They've been told by multiple people. Dude, girl, you got a problem. Everyone in addiction will tell you that. If they're being honest, they will tell you there have been people in their lives who have told them, you've got a problem. So if you're listening and someone has told you that, more than one person has told you that, it's time to take a good hard look at the mirror.
So would you say that maintaining sobriety, which nowadays we call recovery, is a long-term process, and it takes a while. It takes many forms.
Oh, it's a lifetime process. There's no cure for alcoholism. You know, you don't go to X number of AA meetings and complete the 12 steps and you're cured. There's no cure for alcoholism. So it's a lifetime journey. And that means, you know, that means you're in the recovery community. It's a lifestyle. You know, you learn to be around people who are sober, people who are trying to maintain sobriety. Because once you do the 12 steps and you start going to meetings or whatever, if you start going back to your old life, if you start going back to the places where you used to hang out, back to your old friends, back to your old neighborhood, sooner or later, you're going to drink again. And so it's a lifestyle change. It's not just a matter of putting down the alcohol. It's a matter of changing your life and rearranging your life to where sobriety is the priority.
You know, you bring back a lot of memories. When my dad would have the Alcoholics Anonymous conventions in Trinidad, we knew we would get good food if we went with him. And we would all line up to sit in that little Austin Cambridge and go with him. And he would have a few drunks in the car as well, taking them there to the convention to listen to the 12-step program. And boy, they had a lot of food. And we ate well. But what you're saying is it's about the fellowship. You have to change your environment and you have to change the people you're hanging around with. And they had ongoing meetings where they would talk to people and they had treatment and counseling. But of course, they didn't have a PhD and all that, but they knew how to keep people engaged and involved year-round in programs that would help them to stay away, so to speak, from the alcohol.
Yes, ma'am. And that's the key. The key is fellowship. The key is to you know, maintain a relationship with your sponsor. You know, I'm involved in what we call a sponsor family. So my sponsor, his sponsor, is my grand sponsor and my great grand sponsor, and we're all in this group. And it's fantastic because we're able to call one another, we go to meetings together, we go to dinner together, and we help each other along this journey.
Right.
You know, so if a guy's going through a hard time, you're able to call and say, hey, you know, I'm having a hard time today, I lost my job, whatever, and guys are there for support.
Now,
so
you had mentioned,
Darrell,
you had mentioned before to me that you found it during the pandemic that people had relied heavily on drugs and alcohol. We only have a couple of minutes left, but can you touch on that a little bit with some of the guys and girls you have seen, gals, that came to the center?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, the pandemic hit and, you know, I lost my job and I was in my house for 6 or 8 months and all I did was drink. And that's, and so from my own experience, being isolated just made it easier for me to drink more than I normally did. And when I got into rehab, I met a lot of guys who were saying the same thing. You know, I was isolated from my family. I couldn't go socialize with anyone. And so I'm sitting in my house and all I did was drink. I mean, I met so many people like that.
Yeah. Was there like a race component to this as well? Did you see that more people, African Americans or white Americans or Asian Americans or any kind of other people, do you feel like it affected one community more than the other? Because alcohol is a drug that affects everyone, alcoholism.
But what did you see? I didn't really see a whole lot of differences outside of the normal demographic breakdowns, but this is only in my particular area of St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm sure you could find some national expert on alcoholism and the demographic breakdowns who could give you some more specific information. I didn't really see that much of a difference. What I did hear on the news a lot was that alcohol and drug abuse among white Americans actually skyrocketed more than any other group. And I think there's a whole lot of social reasons for that, right? Because the unemployment numbers went up and all this other stuff, and things that normally affect communities of color, high unemployment and all this other stuff that normally affect us, white folks in this country were feeling it for the first time. And so I've seen a lot of programming and I've heard a lot of talks about that particular phenomenon. But
we are so grateful that you're sharing your story with us. And the most beautiful thing about your story is the fact that you are able to reconnect with your daughter and have a relationship with her, and you're able to, you know, find yourself in a position where you can make amends to people that you felt like the alcohol had interfered with your relationships.
Yes, that's the most important part about getting sober is cleaning up your side of the street, as we say, is, you know, making amends for those relationships that have been broken. And you're making things right for the people that, you know, you have done wrong to while you're in the throes of addiction. So, yeah, that's very important, and I'm very grateful.
Well, Mr. Darrell J. Henderson, we have to go. Ellen is going to take over from here, but I'm grateful that you called in. I'm sure you're making a difference. You're just a regular guy who found out to yourself you had an addiction, and you beat it. And we are going to pray for a long recovery for you and for your sponsor family to keep doing what they're doing, and we'll spread the word about Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank you for bringing back the memories of my dad and AA as well.
Yes, thank you so much for calling.
I appreciate it, and appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much for calling in. So I got one little PSA before we get off the air. We've got a fantastic event that's going on March 11th up in Titusville. It is going to be at the Gibson Center Field. It's called Smile From Within. It's going to be in a community engagement. There's going to have free food, community resources. Fantastic speakers are going to be there all day. It's from 1 to 5, and it is a free event for the entire community. So I wanted to make sure that I got that out for our good friend Stanley Breeze at the Brevard Coalition, Prevention Coalition.
Yes.
I believe I got
That's
that
it.
Right.
Brevard
right, right?
Prevention Coalition.
There we go. So we're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. Thank you so much for tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll be right back after these messages.
Is he still on?
There's a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
When you
mattress
need medical care,
furniture.
Need it fast. MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care Centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste MedFast. Of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro. 2447 North
Wickham Road. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. What a great first segment, Ellen.
It was a fantastic first segment with Daryl Henderson from St. Petersburg, Florida, talking about his journey and recovery and all of that great stuff. It was very, very insightful. If you're listening live, you can listen on any one of your listening devices. Just go to 1510 WWBC and hit that listen live button. Of course, we archive everything, so you'll be able to listen to the shows afterward on Facebook, on our website, cedamediainc.com, and also on 1510 WWBC.
Yeah, you know what I loved about Mr. Daryl J. Henderson is he's a regular guy. He's a guy you would meet anywhere, and he's got an issue, and he dealt with it.
But here's another one of those, be the change you want to see in the world, right? And here's a guy that's doing that. He wants to see a change not only in himself, but he's doing the great things to make things better for other people. So that's right. Very commendable.
And our second segment, we have our good friend Claire Ellis is here, and she's here to speak about the Zonta Club of Melbourne. And before we jump in, Claire, and hear all the wonderful things that Zonta of Melbourne is doing, you wanted to add to that conversation with Mr. Henderson and say something that it personally that you think is a good thing for women and men to know about alcoholism and recovery?
Yes, I would like to add, I had the experience of alcoholism in my first marriage, and what saved me and helped me get through it all was going to Al-Anon. I helped myself. So if your spouse, family members, friends, and the person will not seek help, help yourself and go to Al-Anon. And it helped me get through the whole thing, and I'm always very appreciative. They embraced me, they helped me, they understood what I was going through, and it really did help.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. So Zonta International is an organization, and it's international, and we also have a chapter here in Brevard, and their mission is to advance the status of women through service and advocacy. The local club provides 5 scholarships to women and girls in addition to so many things. And Claire, you've been with the Zonta Club of Melbourne for so long, and you are like what we think of when we think of a stellar volunteer. Someone who's found their passion and a cause to donate their time, energy, effort, and money to, like human trafficking. So talk to our listeners a little bit about how you got involved with Zonta of Melbourne.
Well, I think it's been 19 years now, and I was just invited to a luncheon and to learn about Zonta. And when I heard of what they were about and what they did, I was very interested. And I joined. I never knew who sent my name in or anything. And I've been very passionate about their whole purpose is improving the lives of women and girls. And they stress so much in education. And we're international. We're in many, many countries around the world where we're trying to make them understand that girls need to be in school. They can go beyond the third grade. And education is the key, I strongly believe that, to a better life for women. A little bit more of education means a little more money in their paycheck and a better life for themselves and a better life for their family. And it's been proven that even if a woman would go or as a child to a fourth grade education, her children will go beyond the level of her education. So I just believe we do everything we can. We help with fighting domestic violence, human trafficking, everything we can do to improve the lives of women and girls. We offer, like you say, very many scholarships, and we encourage the young women to apply and change their lives always for the better. And we've added also a manufacturing scholarship as well.
So that's another
now,
one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Women are going into the trades, and that's a wonderful thing. So we have added a manufacturing scholarship as well.
And well, you know, in today's world, in the year 2023, it's amazing that we're still fighting for women to still have rights. That we're still fighting for women to live in a violence-free zone. We're fighting for education. We're fighting to empower women and enlighten the world that we matter. It is mind-boggling to think that in some countries, women are still held prisoner due to their hair or their dress. It's just like still bondage to me, you know? And so I'm grateful for organizations such as Zonta Club and what their mission statement is, to help women, not just in the United States, but around the world. And you guys are doing a great job with that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And I'd like to tell everyone, I'm very excited about a fundraiser for the Zonta Club of Melbourne that we're having tomorrow night, the 28th, at the Pizza Gallery in the Avenues in Vieira. And it's pizza with a purpose.
Just as if we need a purpose for pizza. But, you know,
from
whatever.
5 to 8 p.m., all you need to do is come and have a meal. A percentage of your bill at the end of the evening will be donated to the Zonta Club of Melbourne for all the good works that we do. So tell your friends, bring your family, come and have a meal.
And just a little plug for Pizza Gallery. They have every kind of pizza you could possibly want. They've got the whole cauliflower type. I mean, everything from the healthy.
Delicious.
Yeah, for everything from the super healthy to the super, maybe not so healthy.
The garlic knots are really good.
Amazing. Yes.
I could eat like the garlic knots and the salad and fill up on it. So what if somebody wants to support the fundraiser, but they can't come?
Well, then they might want to come to our chocolate festival.
I was just going to say, because I would like to come, but I'm booked at ABWA for a monthly dinner and lecture.
All right. This is the most fun event that we have of eating chocolate and supporting such a wonderful cause on April 2nd. Please join us at the Chocolate Festival at the Grand Manor. The Grand Manor on Sarno Road.
Yep,
very easy
1450.
To find.
1450.
Yep. Ellen knows that by heart because she sings there.
I do.
And I always say across from the tag office and the sheriff's department, come and join us April 2nd, 11 to 3. And it'll be all about tasting competitors' chocolate and going through the line, taking a piece from everyone, sitting down, eating all the different bites that you have, and then you get to vote for Brevard's best chocolate fix.
Right, and one of the great things about the Chocolate Festival is you guys use that event to educate the public about slave labor and in the chocolate industry, and you also teach people about the symbols when purchasing candy and chocolate, what to look for. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that part of the education for us here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends has been astronomical. We learned so much about that.
You don't eat Kit Kats anymore.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. I gave it up because of the Zonta Club.
And that's what I'm saying. Like with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, you may give up some things, but you do get educated.
Give up Kit Kat.
I know.
And I look for that little green froggy thing all the time.
Yes. We like to educate people about labor trafficking. It isn't always about sex trafficking. There's so much going on with slave labor of children and adults. And a big part of that is on the cocoa plantations in other parts of the world, and they need the children to get the cocoa pods out of the trees. And so we use the Chocolate Festival to educate people about the symbols to look for, and all the competitors have to use totally fair trade, slave-free chocolate in the little bites that they make for the competition. So look for things that you'll see. It'll say fair trade, a symbol. It'll just say fair trade with a little blue and yellow symbol. Or it'll say the frog. Always look for the frog. Rainforest Alliance. And you'll see the little green frog. Or it'll just say UTZ certified. And a lot of chocolate has it. A lot does not. And other products as well. Coffee. Many, many products. Look for these symbols.
What does the UTZ stand for?
It's just a symbol for this particular type of chocolate that was produced slave-free.
Okay.
Okay? And so we try to educate everybody about that. And the fact that you get to vote is very exciting, because this year we're hoping, and we know that the winner from last year, which was wonderful too, the Mel High students, they won. Their chocolate was delicious. Yellow Dog was second.
They always bring such good chocolate.
He's been a supporter of the Chocolate Festival from day one. Okay, always of Zonta. He is a big supporter of Zonta. And Amici's was third. So we never know exactly how many we'll have, but it's a beautiful thing for you to see and taste and have all the chocolate you want. We do bring and have some other food. We don't want any sugar highs.
Yeah.
We have to give you a little bit of regular food.
And what's the cost? Because I know you have to get a ticket.
Yes, $35 or $40 at the door. And if you come tomorrow to Pizza with a Purpose, we will have cards that have the scan on them, and you can get the tickets through there or go to our website probably within a couple days and get them off the website, or we'll have regular tickets you can buy. $35 ahead of time, $40 at the door. We're going to have a beautiful raffle with 25 different raffle prizes as well. It's a very, very fun event. And we hope you'll come
and
help us.
And it's family-friendly. A lot of people bring their kids.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if you could bring your pets at the manor. No, probably not. Yeah.
So we're going to need the website. I don't think
yes,
we got that.
Yes, go to zontaspacecoast.org.
So just one little plug in here. UTZ, it was founded in Guatemala at some point. It means good in the Mayan language, and specifically they say that it's specifically about nonprofit program and a label for sustainable farming.
How wonderful.
Thank you.
Right?
So,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So one of the things that Zonta International and Zonta of Melbourne does is help us people here, humans, to try to end slavery, modern day slavery, human trafficking. And you've been an advocate for that, Claire, and helping all of us. So tell us about some of the what we've seen recently with people who are using, who are trafficking, and the people we trust. We were just talking about an attorney a few years ago right here in Melbourne.
Yes, yes. One thing about human trafficking, when we speak out in the Zonta Club of Melbourne, we'll speak out about human trafficking to any organization or group that would like to have us, and give some of the statistics and some of what's going on. And they're not, it's not about grabbing children off the street. It's about people in your sphere. Family, we know. It's unfortunate, but families sell their children for a number of reasons. Could be drugs.
Afghanistan, we've seen how many families have multiple children. And they're we don't know. We are not there to see it, but we read the reports that they're selling their children.
So it's, or people, friends, known to you, known to the family, in your sphere. We say grooming. They've always been there. So all of a sudden, when something is said to you or something happens, you kind of can't believe it, because it's the person that you know and think wants what's best for you. So it's about grooming, and that happens a lot. So we try to also inform people about the internet. When we talk to the schools This is what I say to the schools, and they laugh. And I say, you shouldn't be talking online to anyone you don't know in person, to the children. And they kind of laugh and tell me they have 2,000 friends online. And I say, your friends are the people you know in person. They are your friends, the people that you know around you in person. And there are dangers of the internet that we try to talk about all the time. In a lot of the games that are played, when everybody's wearing headphones and they're all
chatting.
There was a trafficker on one of those games and trafficked 14 girls in Florida, and that's how the initial contact was made through those games. So we speak out. We try to help as much as we can.
And educate, right?
Educate. We're about education.
Well, we're looking at the influx of women and girls and children that come to even the southern border. And you've opened my eyes to so much, and you've motivated me to think about this so much, Claire, and the Zonta Club of Melbourne, that I worry about those people on the border. So many people who are born in poverty-stricken countries don't even have a birth certificate. So they can't even be counted. And you've spoken about that, not just here in the United States, but when you went overseas to Bosnia as well, you talked about people having home births and not registering those babies as born. And those are potential for human trafficking as well.
Yes, when I made a trip to Bosnia-Herzegovina, and that was what triggered my interest in human trafficking, when I came back and attended an event and saw that the first human trafficking project was going to be in Bosnia-Herzegovina, because it was after the Bosnian wars, for the women coming across now from the east to the west with no borders. And that was the beginning of what really, really increased it a hundredfold. But we're about education and doing everything we can to let people know and have an understanding of what it is. And hopefully people will help us by attending Pizza with a Purpose tomorrow night at the Pizza Gallery, or attending the Chocolate Festival on April 2nd at the Grand Manor, 1450 Sarno Road. And tasting all the chocolate creations. You can donate something to our raffle. You can become a sponsor. And we want to know you and educate you, and not only about human trafficking, but also domestic violence as well. We are seeing what a huge problem that is in our own area as well.
And it spiked during COVID, especially here in Brooklyn.
And I wanted to make sure, Claire, because I got such an education the last few times from you about the warning signs and the things that we just sort of see that are happening in our town and maybe don't say anything about them because we're not educated, such as the children that are being dropped off to sell magazines. And and different things like that, because people think, oh, well, that's happening in Orlando or that's happening in Miami. It's happening right here in Melbourne. And we have so many signs that are popping up sometimes that we ignore because we just don't think about it.
The bad guys are everywhere.
Exactly. So share it.
Bad guys and gals.
The sales crews, if any children are coming to your door to sell anything, they shouldn't be at all, unless you know it's your grandchildren or from a local school. They're bringing them in from other places, Orlando, other cities. They have a tag with their real name on them, and they're telling you they're part of they're wearing t-shirts now. They're telling you they're part of something against alcohol and helping high school students.
Streets.
Yeah.
They're pretending.
And they're selling you some dollar store items for $8. Our advice to you is, do not buy anything. You're not helping him. That child is never going to see a dollar from that. Do not do that. But what you should do, and you cannot invite them into your home either. What you should do is give them something to drink and a snack. I'm sure they've had no food or water, and now it's hot and in the heat. Do not, and then call your local law enforcement Don't call 911. Call your local law enforcement. They are aware. They will check out and look for the van. The van is always closed. The van is always closed.
Yeah. And you, the Zonta Club of Melbourne partners with a few businesses and also with the Brevard County Sheriff. You guys work closely with us.
Yes.
Shout out to Sheriff Wayne Ivey. We love him.
He does so much to help us in so many ways. Yes, we appreciate Sheriff Ivey very much.
Right. And if other businesses or other individuals are looking to partner with Zonta, and there's a lot of professionals as well who do have 2 or 3 hours to give per month and they'd like to join Zonta, what's the criteria to become a member?
Want to help improve the lives of women and girls, and we always meet on the third Thursday of the month. And if you go to zontaspacecoast.org, all the information will be there. We appreciate anyone who wants to come and find out more about us. And we welcome you, and any of the skills that you have that may help us, we would appreciate so much.
Yeah. The last time you came, we had spoken about collecting bras for certain women in a different part of the world. How was that fundraiser? How did it go?
Well, we collected so many, and now, I'm glad you asked me about that, we are collecting now, but only colored bras.
Okay.
Not
black?
No.
Probably got too much black?
Yeah, no.
Too much white.
Too much white? Really? I didn't even know people bought white ones. White bras.
In other countries, they don't have bras like we do here. They're very basic, and the women appreciate this very much. So, yes, we are going to be collecting.
We'll
if they want to bring them to the chocolate festival, that would be great.
Oh, would you take some tomorrow night, too, if people
yes,
brought them?
Yes, bring them to Pizza with a Purpose. Yes, we would. We would take them tomorrow night as
so
well.
So our listeners out there, you've got quite a few things to pay attention to. We've got the Pizza with a Purpose coming up. That fundraiser is tomorrow. We've got the chocolate festival. You want to make sure that you look for those tickets. And don't forget that the location has changed. It's always been held at the Melbourne Auditorium. It's not there anymore. It's at 1450. It's at the Grand Manor, 1450 Sarno Road. And certainly this Smile From Within event that we have going on in Titusville, also on March 11th. So thank you so much, Sita. And Claire, thank you so much for educating us and all the things that you do that are so fantastic with the Zonta Club. Allie, thanks for being here with us.
Oh, thank you.
And we're going to...
Danny,
that's right. Our producer, Danny,
he's
takes
waving,
good care of
waving,
us. That's right.
Waving from exactly. Me over there.
Thanks again, folks, for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are here each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on 1510 WWBC. God bless. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was wonderful.
Get that camera on them.